Buddy?
Good morning.
Welcome to the Board of Public Works. We've got a full schedule today with local school systems coming in, so I'm going to just start right in without any remarks, turn it over to my colleagues for any opening remarks. Madam Treasurer?
Good morning. On this beautiful day, finally, at last, I'm not a summer person. Yes, things are beautiful. I want to just say in passing, I was pleased that yesterday at the legislature's spending affordability committee, it showed that the we're in a lot better shape than we thought we would be, thanks in part to taking action, this board taking action at the beginning of the fiscal year to make some necessary, basically technical cuts, but necessary cuts. The premiums that have been contributed by people who know the wisdom of investing in Maryland state bonds, AAA-rated bonds, and some good news from the revenue folks. I do have to say, however, that I share the concern that was voiced there about the impact of what's going on in Washington on the state of Maryland, both in terms of health care spending, whether there's going to be a tremendous and negative impact on our Medicaid and our health sector, which is so important to the economy, a driver of the economy, and whatever is happening with tax negotiations. I know the comptroller's office is watching very carefully because depending on what they do, it's one thing to cut taxes. It's another thing to make significant changes in the tax system and render it impossible for the state, actually, to collect taxes. And finally, the impact that we're beginning to see of the growth, the exponential growth of the Internet market, the part of the Internet market that's not taxed, folks who are buying things but not paying sales taxes. So I think it was an encouraging but pretty sobering report.
Thank you. Let me just say that our health secretary is working very hard on many of those issues, even though he hadn't been paid since April.
Right.
He's volunteering for the people of Maryland. Mr. Comptroller.
Thank you, Governor, and thank you, Madam Treasurer. I just wanted to say this morning how pleased I am that this board, as part of its statutory responsibility to oversee the state's public school construction program, will have the opportunity to hear from our 24 school systems and understand their capital improvement needs and priorities for fiscal year 2019. And contrary to what some downstairs believe, today's meeting is not only an appropriate exercise of the board's oversight role and authority in the school construction process, but it's also very beneficial for our school officials because they have a chance to make their case before this board about their capital needs at the beginning of the budget process instead of at the back end. And today's meeting, as is the case with all meetings of the Board of Public Works, the meeting is open to the public today. It is live screened. All eight of you there watching. And the meeting is transcribed. Instead of a meeting that no one knows about, being conducted in an unmarked room somewhere in the State House complex, we value transparency, accountability, and open government. And those values have been synonymous with the important work that the Board of Public Works has done for the citizens of our great state. And those three attributes are even more important when decisions are made that impact the education of our children. We have a lot of issues to discuss, from air conditioning to maintenance, safety issues to over-enrollment, under-enrollment at some schools. And I look forward to having these discussions in this open and transparent forum so we can ensure that the concerns that have been raised by parents, students, and teachers do not fall on deaf ears. So, Governor, I know today's presentations will be very informative and beneficial for this board and for our LEAs. I'd like to thank you for your commitment to maintaining the board's vital role in the school construction process.
Thank you, Mr. Comptroller. So we actually have a regular Board of Public Works meeting we're going to do very quickly before
that
we get to the school construction hearing. So let's go ahead and get started with the Secretary's agenda.
Good morning,
we're going to try to move through it quickly because we got so many folks here today on so many topics.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. We have 8 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning. We have 1 report of an emergency procurement. We're going to hold item 7, the public school construction item, until the end of the meeting, but we're ready on the other items in the emergency report.
Any questions other than the school construction?
Yeah, I have a question about number 2.
Number 2. I think I saw Secretary Holt here. This is a Department of Housing and Community Development, the Baltimore Regional Neighborhood Initiative, which is their grant of a general obligation bond proceeds to quite a number of projects.
It looks looks like a very interesting and very good project.
Good morning, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, Governor. I'm Ken Holt, Secretary of the Department of Housing and Community Development. This is one of our great programs. At the outset of this administration, we had 33 applications for the Baltimore Regional Neighborhood Initiative. Last year, we reviewed 73 applications. We've funded about $6 million each year. This past year, we had $8 million to fund. And the purposes are very widespread. In one county, I won't tell you just where, we had a rodent control problem that we resolved. But it's a whole variety of down payment assistance to attract home ownership in some of our lower and moderate income neighborhoods. There's a lot of blight remediation, taking care of vacants. In Baltimore City, there were artists that were working in sort of an underground artist colony. And when there was a fire in Oakland maybe a year or so ago, and a number of these artists were killed in the fire, there was concern that our colony of artists in Baltimore City were living in substandard or performing in substandard facilities. So Bernie is providing capital to upgrade all those facilities to the proper code. It's just a remarkably wonderful program. I compliment all of you on supporting it, and I encourage your support today.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
Yes. Do you have questions?
Yeah, I just had one question about a project which apparently didn't make the list. The CASA program for Baltimore Regional Education and Training Center. And I know there are many more demands than funds
right.
available, and the list that you showed us, you sent us, was very, very impressive. The question is, how can we work to get this project, if not through this program, through some other program?
We've reached out to the organization, and we'll have follow-on discussions with them, and we'll address their needs.
That's great. I think it shows what a relatively small amount of money, I mean, the rodent eradication project has a tremendous impact on a community. Little things that really help bring a community together and build it, I think.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to associate myself with the remarks of the treasurer and compliment you on this $8 million general obligation bond proceeds going to the Baltimore Regional Neighborhood Initiative. I've had a chance to look at the list. There are many wonderful projects. Obviously, Anne Arundel County, Baltimore City, these are going to receive these funds. I'd like to mention just a few, $200,000 for the restoration of the Playhouse Theater in the Remington neighborhood, which is a fabulous, mix of new development, new residents, and frankly is a model, I think, for lots of neighborhoods in the city. $400,000 for the construction of single-family homes in West Baltimore, $100,000 for grants to improve Dundalk's Main Street. All of the projects and programs this initiative supports, totally nearly 40 for this fiscal year, will improve the quality of life of residents in these communities and neighborhoods. Governor, I'm very supportive of this initiative. I just want to compliment and thank the Department of Housing and Community Development for spearheading this terrific program. And just piggybacking on what the treasurer mentioned, I personally appreciate you taking a look at some of the projects that may need some amendments in order to, you know, get put on the list down the road. So
absolutely.
Thank you for what you're doing, and job well done.
Thank you.
Thank you for the compliments for Secretary Holt. He and his department are doing a great job, so thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Could I just say that before Secretary Holt was Secretary Holt, he was Delegate Holt. He did an outstanding job then, too.
Yeah, Delegate Holt.
And she was my committee chair.
He was very good.
And delegates rank a lot higher with this board than senators.
Oh, no. I see some voices.
Well, he was
delegate. Depends on the senator, but he wasn't delegate. Any further questions on the secretary's agenda? Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Is there a second? 3-0. Move on to DNR real property agenda.
Good morning, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, and Governor Hogan. I am, for the record, I am Deputy Secretary Joanne Throw. Here representing the Department of Natural Resources, we have 3 items on our agenda today. I'm happy to take any questions.
Any questions? Is there a motion?
Move approved.
Second, 3-0. Move on to DBM.
Good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For a change, DBM has one item on your agenda. That one item has been modified, and
you guys take them up off, or
trying to clean everything up.
One item. Any questions on the one item? Is there a motion?
I have a. Can you just talk very briefly about this? Is the Office of Crime Control?
Yes, study? Jeffrey Zuback or April Dukes.
Your questions.
I'm sorry.
On
Yeah, I would just like to understand specifically. I'm sorry, I got this a little late, and I have no issue with it, no problem with it.
You just want a brief overview of what the project is?
Yeah, in fact, it looks like we are trying to do the best we can to get our programs based on actual studies, actual numbers, going out and doing a series study, and I just think it's worth hearing a very little bit about.
Sure. Good morning, Mr. Governor and the board. I'm Jeffrey Zuback, Chief of Research and Analysis. This is a grant that we put in. It's funded by the Bureau of Justice Statistics, and it helps look at administrative data to determine what predicts recidivism or desistance from crime over a sample of populations in the state. So I think it'll really help whatever findings we get from the study will really help the Governor's Office of Crime Control and Prevention prioritize where we're going to fund programs to help reduce recidivism and really help improve public safety in the state.
That was really my question, is that once you get the study done, and it looks like a pretty thorough study, the intent then is to work it into the system so you actually have programmatic changes, improvements, et cetera, based on real numbers.
That is correct. We want to use all the data to help drive our policy and funding decision making.
And when this is a multi-year contract, when do you think you'll begin to get some numbers rolling in?
Probably in year 2 of the study. I think the first year of the study is really developing, going through the data, and then we'll start to see results within the next year.
I think that's excellent. I think it's great direction. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Move approval.
Second. 3-0. Now we're going to move on to the university system agenda. And I know that we have some folks signed up for item 6. We have President Wallace Lowe here this morning. Ken Ullman, who's the president of Terrapin Development Corp. Carlo Colella, the university vice president of administration and finance. And we have our distinguished senator who represents that district, Jim Rosenbrand. And we have Joe.
Good morning.
Joe comes by himself.
Good morning. Joe Evans, representing the University System of Maryland. We have 6 items on the agenda. Here to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Questions on item 4.
Okay, it's the marketing one from UB.
So we're being asked to approve a not to exceed 5-year contract to the amount of $4 million to a group called Fuse IDs in Winchester, Massachusetts. According to the background materials, this is the second time the University of Baltimore is coming before the board requesting approval for a contract to perform marketing and advertising services. The board initially approved a contract to 160 over 90, a company, on August 16, 2017, and according to the university, that contract was terminated due to, I quote, disputes over standard contract terms and conditions that were not resolved. It's my understanding that one of the main reasons why the university initially selected 160 over 90 is because of the contractor's previous experience, and I'm assuming it was a good experience, with several Maryland higher ed institutions. Mr. Evans, could you tell us what other USM institutions have contracted with 160 over 90 in the past? And correct me if I'm wrong, but those USM institutions had at the very least a satisfactory working relationship with 160 over 90. And I'm just trying to understand what happened here between UB and 160 over 90.
Okay. I have Blair Blankenship, who is the Director of Procurement for the University of Baltimore.
One of the institutions that they contracted with was actually Johns Hopkins, and do you remember the
Loyola?
So, which are private institutions and don't have necessarily the same structure of their contract terms and conditions, nor necessarily the same rigor in which they enforce which contract terms and conditions they can modify. When we got into the initial process of beginning to work with them, it was clear that they wanted modifications of contract terms that, with the advice of the Attorney General's office, we just couldn't accept. And so we never actually signed the contract with them.
So why did you bring it before the Board of Public Works for our approval?
Well, we had no idea that they were going to later bring these requests for modifications to significant terms and conditions in the contract. It was a total surprise to us.
Well, I have to admit, in 11 years, that's the first time I've heard of a contract not being finalized yet brought before us for approval. So I'm, in a nice way, offer that to my colleagues as something novel. I hope we don't see it again in the future.
I certainly agree. We were very surprised that they walked away from the contract. And you know, the copy of the contract was included in the request for proposals. They had ample time to review those terms and conditions and make a decision.
Yeah, but this is your responsibility bring us a finalized contract, and I'm just suggesting that it's pretty drastic to not have that move forward. But I thank you very much, Governor and Treasurer.
Thank you. Any other questions before we bring up the folks for item six that have all taken time out of their schedules to come to us? Who wants to go first? I think it's President Lowe, I guess.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Might as well start at the top.
Yeah. Nice bow tie.
Thank you. It's part of the uniform. Governor Hogan, Controller Francho, and Treasurer Kopp, thank you for this opportunity to speak very briefly about the proposal before you to declare these properties, 10 of them, surplus, so they can eventually be transferred to this LLC, this public-private partnership for real estate development. I will say simply this. We are an educational institution engaged in education and research. We are not in the real estate business. However, we are in the business of innovation and entrepreneurship. Our vision is that beyond education and research, we have to translate the results of that research in order to create new companies, create jobs, and be an engine for the economic vitality of the state. In order to do that, however, we need to have real estate that we need to develop and to manage. And so what has happened for a long, long time, the vision that we have had of ourselves as a university is a college in a park. Our vision is that we are in the beautiful oasis disconnected from the surrounding community. That vision has changed. So over the past 5 years or so, with the support of the state and with the complete support of the local communities, we are now viewing ourselves as a university in the city of College Park and in the greater surrounding area of College Park to create, the vision is, to be the hub for innovation and entrepreneurship for the entire Mid-Atlantic. What that means is we're creating new companies, we're bringing in new companies to this area, and for them to come, we need to have places for them to live, we need to have amenities, and in that process, we will also enhance community development. And one final word. To make sure that this mission of the university to contribute to economic development will outlast us here, that long after I'm gone as president, this will continue. We want to institutionalize it. And that's why we have set up this LLC that will enable us to do business at the speed of business, and it will continue long after we are gone from our present positions. Thank you very much for considering it.
Well, thank you, President Lowe. And while you're there, I just want to, again, congratulate you. It was such a pleasure to take part in the ceremony with the Clark Foundation investment of $219 million into College Park. That's just probably the biggest day in the history of the university, and to great work by everybody involved.
And this is a great investment in the future of the people of the state of Maryland. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just have a question for President Lowe. I also share the governor's high opinion of you, and I particularly like the $219 million. That's a great move forward into the future. And I'm very supportive of the Terrapin Development Corporation, the LLC you mentioned. And you have former County Executive Ken Ullman, who is the, I guess, the main staff person or board member or whatever his title might be, but he obviously has a lot of respect.
President of Terrapin Development Corporation.
Oh, wow. Okay, President. President, yes, I like that. That's good. Has a nice ring to it. And so I have a lot of respect for Mr. Ullman, and I've met with Senator Rosa Pep, who is obviously very vigilant as far as the local participation that you mentioned, and I applaud all of the negotiations that have gone forward and have nothing but support and best wishes for this new initiative. And I agree with you, probably none of us will be here when these things all perhaps bear fruit. But thank you for getting the ball rolling and your team for having a great program. I have no problem with today's vote, but when the three properties out of the 10 that are on your list come back to us, I think 45 days from now, for an actual vote, I would importune you to protect the traditional responsibility of the Board of Public Works to oversee and vote on transfers of ownership and interest in those properties that have been moved to the LLC. And I say that not out of any disrespect for anyone involved in the university or College Park or anywhere. I'm just following up on what you said, which is, you know, some of us aren't going to be here when all of these things happen. And it's good to have an extra set of eyes. I can't imagine a developer in the country that would not like to come before the board with the governor, the comptroller, and the treasurer, obviously voting approval for something that you all have worked out. That would, in my opinion, be the good housekeeping seal of approval. And it would also protect the normal protocol of the Board of Public Works in these types of transactions. So I view it as a friendly amendment if you all could work that out somehow when you come back for the final vote. It really doesn't have anything to do with the merits of all of your activities. It has to do with this particular institution. And thank you for listening to that. Look forward to you coming back for the final approval in 45 days or so. And I compliment Senator Rosa Pep for having worked out something. Having worked at the local level, no good deed goes unpunished at the local level sometimes because people feel so emotional about these things. And to the extent that you now have something that he and others in his delegation are supportive of, that's a feather in your cap. If you could let me put another feather in your cap 45 days from now, that would be great.
Well, this transformation of College Park that's now going on would not be possible without a close partnership with the state senator and our local officials. So thank you very much. Thank you for sharing your perspective.
Don't forget us.
Thank you, President Love. Maybe let's have the senator. You have something you want to...
I do.
With us,
I do. Thank you very, very much. And I apologize to everyone here on school construction for taking a little bit of time on this. But I do appreciate my two former colleagues and a former constituent of mine for giving me the time to share some thoughts on this. I want to say, first of all, I'm here on behalf of Delegate Pena Melnick and Delegate Barnes and Delegate Frush, 21st delegation, totally focused on this over the past month or two. I want to start off by thanking both the institution of the Board of Public Works and the three individuals on the Board of Public Works in the context of issues related to community development in College Park. Over the years, and frankly, the treasurer and the controller have more memory of this because they've been here a little longer than the governor does, the Board of Public Works has traditionally been an important ally of the city of College Park and the community in College Park in making sure that things work well for the community and the university. And so, once again, you are playing that role. And on behalf of the delegation, on behalf of the community, I want to thank you institutionally and individually because we would not be here with this agreement without your leadership. So, first of all, I want to thank all of you. Secondly, I want to thank President Lowe, Vice President Colella, President Ullman, and also a gentleman who's not here, or maybe he's here, but I don't see him up front, and that's Ed McGinnis, who is the real estate guru on the campus, who has really worked very hard to bring this about. They have been very focused, exactly as President Lowe said, and I agree with every word he said, that since he has become president, the focus of the university has been to embrace the community instead of fearing the community. And the community has embraced back. And the things you see and the things you don't see in College Park today are the result of that partnership. And I want to mention one or two because the context of this is important. Before President Lowe came, we had a big problem with the university getting agreement on the route for the Purple Line. It was a big problem. Within 6 months, President Lowe got the university, in my judgment, and I think the judgment of everyone who favors transit and wants to deal with these issues, on the right side. And the Purple Line, we were at the groundbreaking together. It is going forward. President Lowe had a big role in that. Not a lot of people talk about it, but he had a big role in that, number one. Number two is, and I know the governor in particular is a big champion of charter schools, and one of the best charter schools in Maryland is College Park Academy, which was launched as a result of President Lowe's leadership and the leadership of the mayor of College Park. The ribbon cutting for the new building was 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, something like that, built by St. John's Company, under the direction of Carlo Colella, the Vice President for Finance. You're going to talk about school construction. As you know, the average cost of a new school in Maryland is $46,000 per student. College Park Academy, a brand new school on university land, built by St. John's, opened last week, $13,400 per student. So I say that as a little bit of inspiration for our friends coming in looking for how they can build more schools more quickly. Representing a district which has a huge number of overcrowded schools, it's a very important issue for the 21st delegation, so I apologize for making that little plug on school construction.
Maybe you can hang out for the rest of the day.
But back to the issue at hand. So the Terrapin Development Corporation, as President Lowe said, is a very good idea. Everything he said I agree with. Is the university is a terrific educational institution. Real estate, it's not its core competence. They've done good things over the years, but this is going to make it much, much easier for them with their property and with other property they may acquire in the future in the city of College Park and close by to develop it in the interests of the community and of the university. I want to emphasize, and I say this mostly for the record, this is a big deal. This is a little bit, for our little community in College Park in Beltsville, where the governor used to live, and for University Park and other areas, this is a little bit like when the state of Maryland in the 19th century helped capitalize the B&O Railroad. that was like a new idea. It was innovative. What's going to happen with it? Well, the B&O Railroad had a big impact on the development of our state and, frankly, our country. This Terrapin Development Corporation is going to be capitalized immediately with tens of millions of dollars. And if it's successful, which we all hope it will be, it can grow easily into a multi-hundred million dollar institution. Therefore, we all have an interest in it being run and succeeding in the right way. And so the issues that the city's been discussing with the university and that the delegation have been discussing with the university go a little bit to some of the issues that the controller raised. Is just as Wall Street needs guardrails, just like the biotech industry needs guardrails, real estate development needs guardrails. And so basically what we have worked out, and you have a copy of it, I believe. I presume you have a copy of the agreement. Lays out processes that the delegation believes very strongly in the university. Let them speak for themselves, but I think they agree, are appropriate to make sure, as President Lowe said, that our successors, I have no fear at all that President Lowe and Vice President Kalala and President Ullman understand the interests of the community, are committed to it, and are going to make things happen the right way. But unfortunately, as he said, none of us live forever, and this is a forever decision. So I won't go through the substance of the agreement. You have it in for you. I would like it included in the record, obviously. The point is that it is designed to make sure that as Terrapin Development Corporation operates, it is doing so, again, I will quote the controller, with transparency, but also with cooperation. So they're not surprising people with, oh, they just acquired this property, who knew? Or they decide that they think they'd get a greater return on some kind of development at the corner of Route 1 and Campus Drive that might not be something that the other business people in the area, the other citizens in the area, might think was the right approach. So it provides a lot of transparency, a lot of cooperation. It also addresses, in part, the controller's issue because they are agreeing that for transfers of property, this vote and the next vote will be a transfer of property from the university to the Terrapin Development Corporation. If in the future the Terrapin Development Corporation transfer the properties to a third party, that it would have to come back before the Board of Public Works. They've already agreed to that, and that's in this agreement. And we pushed in. It's a good thing. It may satisfy your issues. Please take a look at it. You know, welcome your thoughts on it. The other thing it does that is less technical but really important, and I think a great demonstration of President Lowe and the university's commitment and respect for the city, is there are 9 members of this governing board. They've already been appointed. 5 of them were appointed by the University of Maryland Foundation. 5 of them were appointed by the president. Unfortunately, in the first round, none of them live in the city of College Park. In fact, none of them live in Prince George's County. And we all know real estate is about location, location, location. And so I think everyone agreed that going forward it would make sense to have some of that local expertise. And so we've agreed that when the next vacancy comes up among the president's appointments for non-employees of the university, that the city will recommend 3 candidates from the city for the president to consider. The president will still make the appointments, but they'll come from recommendations in the city from the city. And we think that's a really big substantive step and symbolic demonstration of the kind of commitment that President Lowe has made to the city. With that, I strongly urge approval of this item. Happy to take questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions of the Senator?
No, just thank you very much for that presentation. Why don't we just save some time and put Rosa Pep on the board? Is that possible?
No.
Thank you for your advocacy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim, for your advocacy, and it's, as usual, very detailed. And I just I look at the first item in the memorandum that you mentioned.
Right.
And I see it does apply BBW approval for the initial sale of property. All I'm suggesting is including the normal language, which is and any transfer of interest, i.e. ground leases. Totally meet my concern, which is not grounded in any individuals that are currently in this room. We're all going to be moving on. It's just making sure that the institutional oversight is preserved. And
just wanted to thank you for this language that is there. And, Mr. President, if you could think about amending it with a few extra words, that would make everything very smooth coming down the road at 45 days. But Governor, thank you for letting me get into the weeds there. It's an important issue.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. Now we want to hear from Mr. Colella and Mr. Ullman.
I'll just say thank you for
anything that the senator said.
Not at all. I just want to thank each of you for taking the time to spend time on this. Your staffs have all been really gracious with their time. There's been a lot of back and forth. Have an agreement with the city, now an agreement with the 21st delegation. I will just say anecdotally, I was telling the comptroller, I just got off a red eye from Seattle, where I spent the last 2 days with the University of Washington and their team and talking about their collaboration with Amazon and Microsoft and what's going on in Seattle. And I just tell you, I'm more convinced than ever that the work that we're doing in partnership with the state and your leadership and Secretary Gill and others and the legislature, what we're doing in College Park to create the innovation ecosystem, we're onto something big. And this vote and subsequent 45 days will enable us to act at the speed of business when we're attracting new companies and the amenities that are needed to continue to build that ecosystem. So,
great. Thank you very much for your efforts, Ms.
Governor. I hate to just pile on, but I want to reiterate for the umpteenth time my support. Strong support and appreciation of the development of the TDC. I think you guys have done a terrific job that is going to serve the people of Maryland and the nation very well. The coming together of the foundation and the university is a great, in managing the future, is a great step, one that is beneficial to both the university and the community. I don't think it would have happened without the folks who are sitting here, Mr. President. I agree with the comptroller in his appreciation and strong support. Look forward to seeing it growing, Mr. President. I think you're going to do a great job. I thank you again for your tour of the area, and I can't wait to see the things start growing. And I do respect the role of the Board of Public Works, and I hope the traditional role will be maintained and, on the other hand, will not impinge upon the rights of the corporation or of the university or of the foundation. I look forward to seeing things move fast.
Thank you. And obviously,
while
I'm here, you know, the hotel, which is now open, is open to a large extent because of the support of this board in enabling the foundation, the university, to move forward with the anchor and the catalyst of this area. So thank you
very much. Any other questions on the university system agenda?
Approved.
Their motion, second. 3-0.
Thank you.
Now we're going to move on to information technology.
Good morning, Governor.
Morning.
Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, for the record, my name is Albert Bullock, Assistant Secretary for Administration with the Department of Information Technology. Today we have 3 items on the agenda, and we have agency representatives here to answer any questions you may have.
The population of College Park leaves.
Yeah, we have the Senator Rosepep is making a lot of noise in the back of the room. Any questions on do it? Is there a motion?
Approval.
3-0. Department of Transportation.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. For the record, my name is Pete Ron. I'm the Secretary of the Maryland Department of Transportation. MDOT has 5 items for your consideration today.
Questions on transportation?
Item 5, please.
Item 5.
Yes. If I could have...
Oh. Yeah, great. Terrific.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, for the record, my name is Joseph Sedetal. I am the Deputy Director of Procurement at the MTA, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Great. So this is about commuter bus services between Baltimore City and Harford County.
Yes.
Help me understand why it's so difficult to attract competitive bids for this contract.
Well, part of it is it's a relatively small route. We're talking about going from Johns Hopkins Hospital down to the Convention Center, over to Camden Yards, back up to White Marsh, then Edgewood, and then APG. And at the moment, we're only seeing around 24 riders per day on average. So one of the things that we've been doing, and the reason we've extended this multiple times, is to ensure that we can get some competition and get the best value for the state. Additionally, one of the things that we're doing right now with this new route is something called semi-on-demand service. Because we're seeing that the route isn't receiving a lot of ridership, we're trying to do everything possible that we can to make sure that we do get as many people as possible. Semi-on-demand is essentially if the bus route is stopping right here at the State House, we'll actually have our commuter bus go 3-4 blocks down and pick up somebody directly from their house. And that's a new system. It's something we haven't tried before, and I think we're getting some confusion from the vendor community. But at the same time, the bid has actually closed, and we are going to move forward with it, and we do have multiple bids.
Good. And so you're experimenting beyond the fixed route model for these?
Yes, sir. Again, we're trying to make sure that we can get as many people on our buses as possible.
Good. And when can you expect a replacement contract to be awarded?
We're currently evaluating the bids right now, so hopefully in the next couple months. We're very confident that we'll be able to bring it before the board before this extension expires.
Very impressive. Thank you.
Yes. Governor, Comptroller, given the ridership on this route, this is, in essence, the last gasp. Joe was not part of a conversation that I've had internally, but this kind of an expenditure for 12 people is just not a good use of public resources. So this is the last attempt. If we don't see an increase in ridership, the likelihood is we are not going to proceed with the procurement that is out right now.
Okay. Well, thank you. It's a very impressive presentation. And good luck.
Thank you. Any other questions on transportation? Second. Nothing on transportation. And last but not least, Secretary of UGS, Secretary Churchill, good morning.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, I'm Ellington Churchill, Secretary for General Services. The department has 16 items on our agenda, including one supplemental. We have agency representatives available to answer any questions.
Any questions on DGS?
Thanks, Secretary Churchill. He came to the opening of the Greenbelt office of the Comptroller, satellite office, branch office. Did a fabulous job with his crew, his team, of getting the new space up and running, and spoke very eloquently. Mostly about your poll numbers, Governor Hogan. No, I'm kidding. He was terrific at the ribbon cutting and just a job well done. Mr. Secretary, thank you for everything you've done for our agency.
Well, thank you, Mr. Comptroller. We are happy to be there, and I will say that the Office of Real Estate are dedicated folks, as you saw. Governor, there were folks that were still looking for things to change, a little paint thing. Yeah, a little punch out the items. So they stay dedicated. So thank you for your time.
Going through the office and pointing out little laws and paint.
I was just happy the ribbon was there to be cut. I'm more parking, more access, better customer service.
Great.
And it's everything this board talks about repeatedly. And
I saw your other office in Western Maryland over the weekend.
Yes.
Looking good up there, too.
Yeah. Governor and I were out at the Fall Festival parade that I hadn't had the pleasure of participating in, and this was the 50th.
The Autumn Glory Festival in Oakland.
In Oakland. If you haven't been to Oakland, it's just short of where you pass into West Virginia, but it's a wonderful center for Western Maryland. It was it was a beautiful day like today, but it was the single best parade I have ever been in the state of Maryland. There were more people closer to the, it wasn't like some big highway. They were right there. You could say hi to them. Everybody was pleased to, they probably didn't know who I was, but they were pleased to see state officials out there, and I just want to compliment the folks out in Garrett County for doing something very special, and I'm not going to miss any of those in the future. And yes, the governor shamed me into walking the entire route because he was walking, and
I was jogging. He was going to ride in the Corvette, but I didn't.
Anyway, it was a great day for Western Maryland, and, you know, just a real eye-opener, I think. I don't mean to act surprised that there were a lot of people there. There were a lot of people there, and it was a real community-strengthening exercise, I think. And
great. Any other questions on DGS? Is there a motion?
Move approval.
There you go. 3-0 on DGS. That concludes our initial general Board of Public Works meeting. We're going to take a short break, say 5 minutes, so they can set up for the school construction hearing. No, because I'm just, that's my third time. I'm the third campaign that I didn't want to.